Hey, this is Shahid Chaudhary, Senior Technical Evangelist at Microsoft. And if you've been watching this video series, you may have learned a thing or two about ASP.NET being cross-platform, being super lightweight. You can develop on a PC or a Mac. You can deploy to Linux. You can use Entity Framework across platforms. But you might be wondering, how do I get this out into the world? Well, today's session, you're going to learn about deploying your web apps. So to deploy your web apps, there's a couple of things you need to know. There's different options that you have, but if you're looking for the presentation material, you'd like to see more tutorials that I have on my site, make sure you check out wakeupandcode.com. So our agenda for today, we'll start off with an overview. We'll go into Visual Studio and how you can use Microsoft's IDE to deploy and publish your apps. We'll talk a little bit about Azure and how you can create a web app and deploy your web app there. And then we'll talk about continuous integration with source control, whether you're using Git or some other source control environment, or even GitHub. And if you're really old school, you want to go with FTP, File Transfer Protocol, you can literally upload files from your local machine or development environment up to your server. And we'll wrap up with databases and connection strings. So a quick overview, again, a very simple diagram here. You have your happy developers on the left, they're working on their web app. They have a database that they're working with, and they'd like to publish that over the network or over the internet to a web server or a cloud provider. In Microsoft's case, you have Azure as our cloud provider, and we'll teach you how to build a web app in the cloud and then deploy to it. And then we'll also give you some guidance on deploying your database as well and connecting to it. So how do you publish from Visual Studio? It's as easy as right-clicking your project and publishing it. Before we get into the demo for this, there is a website where you can see more information. If you go to azure.com, there's documentation on everything. There's a documentation link that gives you more info. If you download these slides, you can go ahead and click on that link for this particular page that talks about deploying your project. So again, we'll go through the steps today, but if you need to see a written blog post and tutorial, make sure you check out the official Azure documentation. So our demo today will show you how you can publish directly from Visual Studio. So let's do it. Jumping out of PowerPoint, I'm going to go into a project that I have open in Visual Studio. Let's run it one time to see what it looks like. So I'm clicking on the green play button on the top. And the bottom left, it says build succeeded while it's launching my web browser. So I already had a web browser open with my Azure portal logged in. And for the first time, it's starting up this little web browser or web server on my local machine, and you have the application running, so everything's good, right? So let's go ahead and close that. I'm going to minimize this. Now I'd like to deploy to Azure. There's a couple of different ways to do this, but one way to do it would be to right-click on your project and then go to Publish in the top on the menu that comes up. So here you have a couple of options, Microsoft Azure App Service, where you can enter your credentials. And then you can choose a resource group and a subscription and so on. Let's hit cancel and see what the other ones are. And there's import, which lets you import what's called a published profile file. In case you don't know what that is, we're going to go into Azure and download this. And finally, we have file system, whether you're going to a specific file system on your local machine or in the network and you'd like to deploy your web project, you can set up a new profile and then use a path for your local file system or network file path. So let's go ahead and click close on there as I'd like to show you how you can create it from the Azure end as well and then come back to Visual Studio. So what do you need to create a website in Azure? So what used to be called Azure Websites is now called an Azure Web App. So if you're looking at slightly older documentation, you might see the term website. So with web apps, you can create a web app that supports multiple runtimes including .NET, Java, PHP, Python, or just a basic HTML, JavaScript, CSS website. So again, I've provided a link to this specific page on the app service documentation. So you can go check it out. But because we're doing ASP.NET today, I'm going to show you how that works. If you've already done this for previous versions of ASP.NET, you'll find the process here very similar. But this actually makes your life easier because ASP.NET Core will actually bundle your runtime with it, and you don't have to worry about what version of .NET exists on the server. So let's go ahead and go to my Azure portal. So here I've logged in to portal.azure.com, or you should go, just go to azure.com and click on the portal link on the top right, And I have a bunch of things here that are running or that are open. So just to show you how easy it is and how quick it is to create a new web app. So let's say we're creating one for Dev Radio. So I would click New and then Web Plus Mobile. And under Web App, I can type in the name of my web app. So let's say I want to call it Shahid Radio. And then I have my own Azure subscription. And I want to select a resource group for it. You can select a new resource group or select an existing one. I chose an existing one. It's already assigned to what's called an app service plan, which is tied to a specific location I've selected. I myself am on the East Coast right now, so I've selected East, and that's all you need. You click Pin to Dashboard if you want to see it on your dashboard and get to it quickly, and then click the Create button. Now, this is a demo that I can do at a live event, or in this case, a recorded event, because it is so quick. If I click on the little bell on the top, it says my deployment has started. I can actually click that and get more information about that web app. So it says a couple of things at the bottom, has some timestamps on what's going on, it's getting started up. And before I finish my sentence there, it says deployment succeeded. So again, this is super quick. So let's go ahead and close that for now. And because I've created it or pinned it to my dashboard, you'll notice that there is a Shahid Radio on the top right. So let's go ahead and click on the Shahid Radio link, or tile rather. And now I have a URL that says shahidradio.azurewebsites.net. Now this is a clickable link that I can click on and see it as a live website. By the time you watch this video, it may or may not have it up. Usually I'll create demo apps and then delete them. But the cool thing here is that it actually gives you a couple of choices, whether you're using Git or FTP, or you just want to use tools like Visual Studio, Visual Studio Online, or Web Matrix. It gives you a bunch of clickable links to get more information how you can do each of these. So we're going to talk about a couple of these tools because now you have a website, but there's nothing on there. So what I'll do is I'll go back to Visual Studio. So back in Visual Studio, I'm going to right-click on this project here. So if I right-click on it, I get an option to publish. So now if I choose Azure App Service, I'm going to go ahead and re-enter my credentials. It shows my login name that I use. And as I enter this information, I'm going to get a prompt. So I'll go ahead and type my password a little slowly. By right-clicking on my project, I can go to Publish and then select Microsoft Azure App Service. And this time you'll notice that once I've logged in, I have my subscription information right here and a resource group. And I can go ahead and select the options that I have. Now, one of the options I have is Shahid Radio. This is the one that I just created recently. So I can go ahead and choose a deployment slot if I want. But if there's no deployment slot, I'm going to go ahead and click OK. You may be wondering, well, what is this deployment slot? Well, a deployment slot is something that allows you to publish to one slot and then just test it out in a staging environment. And when you're ready with all your new features to move it into production, you can swap it with a production site. So what you see here on the screen is I just clicked on the Publish button on the last screen of the Publish dialog. And now at the very bottom in the output window, it gives me some information like where it's publishing to, and it's reloading the website itself. So let's wait until it completes. There's some information about the site itself. And on the bottom left, it says that it's ready. So let's go ahead and zoom in on that. Let's check that out. All right. And the bottom right, there's a little green progress bar there, and there's something going on, some activity. So it's definitely in the process of taking the application, getting it ready for the web server on Azure, and then publishing it to the site that I have. So what's going to happen once it's published, you'll see that the application that I have locally is now available in Azure. So again, it's a very quick way of deploying your application to Azure itself. So while that's going on, what we'll do is we're going to go back to our Azure portal. So this is the wrong window. Let me go to the correct window. The Azure portal, you'll see that I have a link over here that has the old site. I won't refresh this just yet. But while I'm sitting here without clicking anything, Visual Studio actually launched a new tab in my browser, and it loaded the same URL, shahidradio.azurewebsites.net. So again, it deployed the version of the project I had on my local machine, the sample project, and it's loading it up right now. So once it's loaded, you'll see it load up from the internet on this machine. What I'll do is I'll go back to the previous tab I had open so you can see a copy of that as well. So I'm going to go back to the previous tab here, and I'm going to hit refresh as well. And you'll see this one is loaded. The one on the right also loaded. So again, this is the same site. Initially, it had just a sample project with nothing in it, or rather the empty project with nothing in it. And the second time, I deployed my web application from Visual Studio. So let's go ahead and close both of those windows. And let's show you something else here. We said something about having different staging slots. So if you go to the properties for your application, you can check to see your URL and some endpoints and FTP information. You can also look at your application settings. Now, application settings show you the runtime of things that are running in your web app. We're using ASP.NET Core, so again, it's not using the full .NET framework, or it could if you wanted to, right? You can bundle ASP.NET Core with the full .NET framework or the core runtime itself. If you were to do other applications as well, just so you're aware, there's PHP, Java, Python, other things as well. There is an option you should be aware of, always on. So right now, if you leave it as always on to the on setting, what it does is it always makes your website readily available. If you leave it in the off position, what it'll do is anytime your website is idle, it makes it dormant until someone hits the site at a later time. So if someone hits the site at a later time and it's no longer idle, it takes a few seconds for it to start up, and then it continues to be more responsive to future future viewers of your site. So definitely keep that in mind. If you have the free tier in Azure Web Apps, you won't be able to get all the features. If you want to do always on, you have to move up to a slightly higher tier, such as the staging slots we talked about earlier. But again, definitely check out some of the documentation for more details on that. So going back to our slides, we just saw a demo of our web app. By going to New, Web Plus Mobile, and Web App, we're able to create a brand new web app and choose a resource group and location. So again, keep in mind that whatever pricing tier you choose will allow you to have more features for your deployed web app. I also promised you this published profile. So earlier we saw there's an option to import a published profile into Visual Studio. Well, where are you going to get it? If you go into Azure, there's actually a button that says Get Published Profile in the list of buttons in the top toolbar. So I'm going to go back to Azure. Go ahead and close some of these blades. Let's go all the way to the dashboard here. So in the dashboard, I have Shahid Radio here on the top right. I could click there to get to it, but let's say I forgot to add the tile. It's not there on my dashboard. How do I get to it? I could click on All Resources and see everything that I have, and maybe type in the word radio in my search box there. And I see a couple of things here. There's Application Insights, which is associated with my app service for my web app. But the icon with the globe on it is the correct item to choose in this case. So I'm going to click on Shahid Radio. And that gets me back to the settings for this particular web app, similar to what we had opened earlier. So now I have a couple of choices here. I can go ahead and scroll to the right and see my other settings, or I could click on this Get Published Profile to download the published profile if I want to get it right away. So I'm going to click on Get Published Profile, and it starts to download this published settings file. So I can go ahead and click on Open Folder at the bottom there. So if I open folder, it opens up my downloads folder and shows me that there is a published settings file. So I go ahead and minimize that. Back into Visual Studio, next time I want to publish something, I can go to the publish window. And you'll notice that it's already on the bottom of these list of tabs here. Profile, connection, settings, and preview. It's already on preview because I've already set up one deployment method. Well, I don't have to get stuck there. I can actually click back on profile and now choose import. So now I can choose that second method to import a published profile. So let's go ahead and do that instead. And it says, hey, would you like to import this published profile file? And I will say, yes. I want to browse my downloads folder. Oop, there it is. I have shahidradio.publish settings. Let's go ahead and publish or open that. Click OK. And what it does is automatically populates a bunch of things on there. And I can choose the same option. I can click publish once again. And it'll go ahead and update that. So depending on how you have it set up, you could give the published settings file to other trusted members of your team. That way, everyone does not need access to the same Azure web app. So we'll give that a couple of seconds to load up. But just to let you know, this isn't just the only way you have to publish your app. What we did was we used a publish profile right now, but previously we're able to publish directly from Visual Studio itself. So how else can you do the same thing? We've published using Visual Studio, we used Azure. Well, maybe you just want to use source control. You don't want developers passing around this public settings file. Maybe you don't want to give them access to your full Azure web app. So let's go ahead and check out what else we have in store. So we just took a look at how we can publish or import this public profile in Visual Studio. So next we'll talk about GitHub and Git. So just like as we had in previous slides, I have a link to official Azure documentation. And if you download these slides here, you can get access to the same links that you see in the screen. Wouldn't expect you to memorize the entire URL here, but you can get more info on how you can use GitHub across organizations. And with that, we're going to see a quick demo for GitHub. So let's go back to Azure. So I'm going to go ahead and close this because it just republished the same app. And under my settings, you'll notice that there's actually a section called publishing. Well, it says deployment source, deployment slots, and deployment credentials. So let's choose deployment source. And it gives me a couple of choices here. Choose source and performance test. Well, performance test is not required, so we're going to skip that for now. So I'm going to click choose source. And you may see a couple of familiar items here that you may have seen before. So this Visual Studio Team Services, file storage system such as OneDrive and Bitbucket and Dropbox. You have source control systems, right? GitHub is really popular, but you could also use your local Git repository. So what I'll show you is if you click on GitHub, and your screen will obviously look different, but here I have my own GitHub, and it says you can choose GitHub, you can authorize it with a certain user, and you can choose which project and branch it goes into. I'm going to click close for now because I'm not connecting it to my particular GitHub. But if you wanted to then link it to a GitHub project that you're working on with a team of people, maybe you're at a hackathon and you just want to deploy a web app very quickly, this is the way to go. So you deploy your web app or push it into source control and have the source control automatically set up continuous integration. Once this is set up, you can easily have your web app automatically updated on every commit and push. So what else do you have? There is Git push itself. So let's say you just want to use your own Git repository and publish to it. Here's a link to another documentation tutorial that shows you how to do it. You can install Git, create a local repository, and then use that in Azure. And with that, we're going to jump directly into FTP. So FTP file transfer protocol has been around for many, many years, and people use it to dump files from their local systems to a server system and vice versa. You can bring files back too. So you can use this to deploy an Azure web app. In this case, this documentation shows you a slightly different example. It gives you a PHP and MySQL example. So if you, in case you want to go beyond Azure or .NET, you can do other apps in Azure as well. So let's see our demo of FTP. So regardless of what platform or technology you're using, the steps to set it up on Azure is the same. In my portal here, I'm going to click on All Settings again so that I can see the settings blade, and I will scroll down to the publishing area. So in the publishing area, what I'll notice that there is something called deployment credentials. So let's go ahead and select deployment credentials. So here it gives me the choice of setting up an FTP username. So let's say I call it Shy the Radio, and then let's say I set up some sort of a password. I'll just type in a password, doesn't matter what it is, but it does have to be something that I can remember. And I will go ahead and save it. So what it does, it resets my deployment credentials, and now I can use an FTP client to deploy to it. So why is this important? It's because if you want to move things via FTP to your web app, you can. If I go to my favorite FTP client, FileZilla, here I've already been disconnected by the server because I've had that open for a while. But here on the left side, what you see is my local folder system. And on the right side, you see my server system. So here, I can go ahead and right-click on my file. Let's say I want to do upload. And here, it says, hey, you already have something there. Do you want to replace it? Like, sure, why not? This is an empty file just for testing. And because I was already logged in previously, it reattaches my connection. So I'm connected again to the server, and I can move the file there. If I want, I can also bring files back. You can also do drag and drop. So again, another way to deploy your files. Maybe use it as a last resort. I wouldn't recommend using this for your normal deployment procedures. If you maybe have to make a very quick emergency change, urgent change, so you just have to push something right away, this is one way you can take care of it, and it works in any platform. So far we covered a bunch of different things, but one thing to note is the FTP client FileZilla is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux, but because FTP has been around for so long, you can pretty much get any FTP client that may be your favorite tool. So finally, we're going to cover databases. So if you use ASP.NET, chances are you may be using SQL Server, and you may be familiar with Management Studio. So we're going to talk about how you can take your local database and move it to SQL Server on Azure. You would also have to create a SQL database on Azure to host it. And the way you have to understand SQL databases in Azure, if you're using our PaaS offering or platform as a service, is that you need to create a database server first, which has a username associated with it. So a database server can have a username and password, and each database server can hold one or more SQL databases. So if you have five SQL databases, they could be on five separate database servers, or you can put them all on one. If they're related databases, for whatever reason, it's better to put them all on one database server if it makes sense for your project, because you only have one set of credentials to access that server, because you're going to need that server URL, the server machine name, and also the server username and password in order to deploy that database or even connect to it. And finally, we'll talk about connection strings. If you've seen any of my previous videos, you may have seen the one with Entity Framework. I've mentioned this before, so these are a couple of older slides. The connection strings in your ASP.NET Core project appears inside your startup.cs file, and you could just set up your configuration file here. So the actual connection string doesn't have to appear here. You tell SQL Server to use a certain configuration item, and that's coming from one of your app settings files. So here I have appsettings.json, and it picks up data default connection string, and you'll have your complete connection string there. In case you're wondering why you should use this when it's so readily visible, as we've had with other versions of ASP.NET, people tend to put their connection strings in plain text files like this if they're just getting started out. Again, there's different ways to hide it. For ASP.NET Core, we recommend using what's called application secrets or user secrets. So as long as you've enabled user secrets in your startup.cs, you can use app secrets in your ASP.NET Core application. Make sure you check out this documentation here under docs.asp.net. The security section has more information about this. So again, this is information I've mentioned in a previous video. So definitely check out my full video on Entity Framework in ASP.NET Core if you need more information on this. But once you get to Azure, the connection string will be in a different location. So under your application settings tab, you can create a set of connection strings there. So depending on your slot, you can have different connection string. There is Azure documentation that talks more about this. So under azure.microsoft.com, in the documentation location, there's a bunch of articles including how to configure your website or your web app. So definitely check that out as well. So before I wrap up with my business card here, I'm going to go back and show you the demo in Management Studio. So Management Studio here shows a database that I have open locally, and I can right-click on that database and go to my tasks. So here I have a bunch of different options to deploy my database to Azure SQL or even an Azure VM. So I can choose to go to an Azure SQL database, or I can go to a fully functional virtual machine running SQL Server. There are some feature differences between running Azure SQL and running SQL Server in a VM. So definitely look at the Azure documentation to see what the difference is. But for our purposes, we're going to create an Azure SQL database and deploy to it. So going back to the Azure portal, let's close all these tabs or these blades. And then if I click New, after I click New, I can choose Data plus Storage and then choose SQL Database. So this creates a SQL Azure database in the Microsoft's PaaS offering, which is Platform as a Service. Let's say I want to call it Shahid SuperDB1. And then I can choose a resource group or select a blank database if I want, or even a sample database because I want something in there. Now, if I want a sample database, you can choose a couple of database choices. And I can choose a database server. The reason the server is already populated is because I've already created one before. When you create a new server, you can actually give it the server name, give it an admin logging and password, choose a location, and so on. I won't do that right now, but when you're doing this for the first time, make sure you create a new server. When you're doing it subsequent times, you can create a new server if it makes sense for your database. So let's go ahead and hit cancel that. I'm going to choose the existing server, and that gets populated. And because I've chosen existing server, it wants me to create a server admin login. So this does take a few minutes. Let's see if I can remember my login name and password. And under pricing tier, I've selected standard. You can see that there's multiple pricing tiers you can choose from. So I'll close that and then pin that to my dashboard as well and click create. So different things in Azure take different amounts of time. So when I create a web app, it took just a few seconds. But when you deploy a database or a virtual machine, that might take a little longer. So we'll let that continue. What I'll do is I'll go back to Management Studio and show you how you would deploy your database to a database server you just connected. Fortunately, once that's deploying, I already have a database I've created before. So with this additional database that I've created previously, you can see that it has a server name, which is, in this case, shycdbs.database.windows.net. If I click on the general settings or go through the settings, I have things like its properties and security and so on. So I can see more information about the SQL Server. If you want, you can make a note of it, or if you can just copy and paste the name of the server. But the username and password is actually the username and password that you created for the database server itself. So again, when I create a new database during my demos, I usually shut them down. So don't try and connect to my database. I will definitely take care of these after the video is done. So for the time being, once my new database is being created, I'm going to go to Management Studio. Right-click on my local database. I can click on Tasks and then choose Deploy Database to Windows Azure SQL Database. And here I can just click Next to the screens and click on Connect to set up connection here. And under server name, I would give it the full name of a database. So let's say I choose something like this where I have the name of a database server and a username and password. I can go ahead and connect to it. And once that's done, I can choose a name for that database on Azure and then click Next and then finalize this database deployment. So again, that's one way to deploy your database. If you have some script set up where you can connect to a database and deploy to it, you can do that as well. But Visual Studio and SQL Server Management Studio makes it very easy to interact with your database. So I mentioned Visual Studio there. So how do you get to your database with Visual Studio? So back in Visual Studio, we're looking at our ASP.NET Core web app. I have an option here called Server Explorer, where I can see things that I have in Azure. But I also have SQL Server Object Explorer. So again, this is another place where you can connect to your SQL Server. I have some stuff here that's local. Under Azure, I have things that are in Azure itself. I can check out my SQL databases. So again, there's a lot of different things you can do in Azure. And one of the things you'll notice is that there's that super database that I just created, and there's that older one that I had from before. So Microsoft makes it really easy for you to start wherever you want. You can start in your local machine. You can start in the cloud. You can go back and forth, and you won't have a problem connecting to and deploying and developing your application. We hope you had a good learning experience here, learning about deploying your web apps, whether you're deploying to local network through FTP or into Azure. We also cover databases and how you deploy a database alongside your web app, and also touched briefly on connection strength. So again, for more information on Entity Framework itself and where it first covered connection strengths, definitely check out my previous video. So I'll leave you with the end of my slides. There's my contact information if you have any questions, and we hope you enjoyed this video.